Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Joe Humphreys, who knows a thing or two about philosophy, joins us to discuss success and failure. Oh, ho, 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 Joe.
Yes, I feel like a bit of an imposter here now talking about success, but thanks, Ray. Yeah.
So, let's get the definitions out of the way. But this is what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Well,
definitions.
Yeah, you could start with definitions, I suppose. Yeah, what sense, why do we even talk about success? Philosophers will define it in different ways, and a lot of our current definitions are around material success and getting ahead of your neighbour and so on. But philosophers have different definitions. So, I mean, for Socrates and for the ancient Greeks, it was about living virtuously. So a successful life was a virtuous life. And weirdly enough, they measured a good death in how well you died. Actually, that if you die a virtuous death, a brave death, you know, standing up for values, standing up for principles, that's actually success. So, you know, they say don't count a man happy until you see how he ends, if you like. This was a kind of an old kind of Athenian kind of principle. So Socrates himself was kind of an example of that. He chose, rather than kind of going back on his beliefs, he stood his ground when he was put on trial, and he died for standing up for the truth, you know. Modern comparison, someone like Donald Trump might say that guy's a loser. You know, he should have just, you know, he's not like you. It's all about winning.
By that definition, not a lot of us have an opportunity to die virtuously.
Well, I guess it's one completely different way of thinking about success. Yeah. That everything that happens really in this life is maybe a preparation for a virtuous end. But I mean, more broadly, the Greeks would think about virtue. If you can develop the right character, you're a successful person. You know, Sartre, the existentialist philosopher, French philosopher, he would say success is about living authentically. So can you live your most authentic self, you're successful. Someone like Nietzsche, another kind of more modern philosopher, he would have said success is about living kind of punishingly, almost living to the extreme of life. You know, he spoke about the kind of ideal life as becoming a superman, that you really pushed the extreme, you pushed beyond the boundaries of conventions. He was very gendered, actually. He's quite not a bit of a chauvinist. He didn't really have much to say about women, actually, but that's another thing about Nietzsche. But that was his kind of just general principle that you know, this was a way of measuring success. So I guess from a modern perspective, why it's maybe an issue that crops up a lot is because success and our ideas of success are a cause of unhappiness very often. I mean, you know, we are often measuring ourselves against others. We have certain ideas of success that may not be very, you know,
achievable.
Useful, achievable, you know, or indeed virtuous, you know, or right when put under the scrutiny and put under the spotlight. You know, as I say, mentioned someone like Trump, who has an idea of success where, you know, you could say he won the election, but, you know, how did he achieve that victory? You know, he kind of was telling lies about immigrants eating cats and dogs, and he, you know, gained success through kind of following a particular path. And so so I suppose one way when we think about success and rationalizing or processing it, look at the philosophical side, which is question, what is success? You say your open question, how to define it. And then maybe there's a psychological side, which is why do we get so bothered because we're not meeting these standards of success? Why, you know,
the pressure to achieve what society dictates as success is the cause of a lot of hardship, I would imagine. So do we have to redefine it for ourselves, or should we, is this an individual's job maybe to define what success is for them?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to say it is definitely a problem. And I think there's a lot of psychological research, particularly younger generations, a lot of concern around Gen Z, you know, feeling more anxious, feeling that sense of failure, like that the life is slipping away, so on. And there's societal things. It's, you know, I'm always reluctant to put it on the shoulders of the individual, because there are societal forces that another, you know, psychologists and philosophers have spoken about, as to why maybe we feel that sense of failure or find it more difficult to kind of see that we're actually succeeding on our own terms. I mean, one of the things that comes up a little bit in the literature is failure deprivation. This idea that this is more blame the parents here, which is, you know, that we haven't had the opportunity to fail, to kind of learn from failing, kind of make mistakes in safe environments. COVID has been a factor, certainly for younger generations, but also, you know, just making failures, often it's more difficult now. People feel it's a much higher risk enterprise, particularly in the age of the smartphone. failures are magnified and so on. So we have this failure deprivation, kind of the opportunity to fail.
So what would the philosopher say about everybody getting a medal at the school sports day?
Well, I'd be fairly relaxed about that. And I think, you know, if you think about the Leaving Cert, for instance, that we've got rid of failure as a kind of a mark. Everyone gets a grade. Everyone is marked according to their ability. I think that's the right way. You're measuring people across, by their standard. You know, the Junior Cert has this, for instance, meeting expectations, above expectations and so on. That's kind of a much more valid and realistic measure. I think giving the medals is fine because it's more about participation.
Okay.
I don't think I'd lay on everything on that okay. kind of blame. There's other things as well going on. Well, I mean, one of the other things, one of the big things that's come out of psychological research in recent years is the negativity bias, which is a lot more recognition of this, that we respond much more severely emotionally to negative things that happen in our lives than positive things. We dwell on them.
Yeah.
You know, you have this with the athletes who dwell over, they get sleepless nights over missing out.
Yeah, no, and that's, I can tell you verbatim what somebody said about me 24 years ago.
Where
it was said, verbatim.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I can't remember anything nice that was said.
And I think, and that's definitely, the smartphones are exacerbating that and the visibility. We have so many opportunities to be, you know, compared poorly against others, you know, when living
so
their
we,
dream lives.
So we, as human beings, we have a negative bias. So we're more likely to remember negative things about us.
Yeah, I think we need to take that very seriously. It's much more severe than you know we kind of give credit. We kind of dwell on the negative things, as you say, years later. We feel emotionally, and this is in all of us, you know. I mean, the psych research would show this is in all of us, bar maybe very few people, that you know, the emotion is stronger, it's more lasting. The positive things tend to fade away quicker. You know, even we have difficulty kind of processing success. A lot of people have imposter syndrome around success. So if you do succeed at something, kind of people can brush it aside and they say, oh no,
that
must have been a fluke. I didn't really deserve that. So we're much quicker to push down those emotions than we are with the failure, where we dwell on it and we think, right, we really are a failure. This is all on me, you know, and
I wonder why
succeeded
that is the case. I wonder why that has happened over the eons of time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the psychologists will talk about some evolutionary reason you know, it's some sort of defense or survival mechanism. I mean, I think what's worrying for the certain things we probably can't change, the things we can maybe resist is some of the cultural things and some of the messaging that goes around success. So maybe mention a couple of things around that. One is, I mean, and this is a big change as well, that, you know, we now live in what's called a meritocracy. So, I mean, guess going back a few generations, people were less socially mobile. That is a big negative thing. You know, it was more hierarchical society. But you had something to blame. So if you didn't get on in life, you'd say, well, okay, I didn't get the advantages of other people. I didn't, you know, I wasn't given a step up at the beginning. That's fine. And you've reasons why you don't succeed. Now, it's this idea, at least, that we're living in this meritocracy. Everyone's supposedly on a level playing field. Now, that's not the case.
But so they're promoted whatever by merit.
That's the idea, that everyone is. So, you know, and we all know that. That's not really true, because some people start well behind on the starting line compared to other people. Other people get lots of advantages. But that's kind of the propaganda around the capitalist society we live in. And I guess that's a message that filters down through, you know, workplaces, through schools. If you don't get the job, you didn't deserve it. You know, it's your fault. It's all on your head. And it's a very different message. And again, even you think about a big rival message to that in cultures and societies, it comes from something like Christianity, which is its influence has failed, you know, or has faded. You have the core message of Christianity is no one is better than anyone else. We're all equal in God's eyes.
So there seems to be a pushback against capitalism in a lot of books I'm reading now. You know, that, and because of that, the meritocracy and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But people look around and they see people like Trump and they see people like Elon Musk and all these people, and they have achieved billions and they've become, you know, the leader of the free world and all that sort of thing. So although they might read it in books and they might want to believe it, when they look around, they see that the reality is completely different.
Yeah. Well, I guess it goes to the core of, I think, one thing about all self-help books that really... a lot of them now or today are about self-improvement, and they're about getting ahead on the standards of capitalist kind of qualities. It's not necessarily about, you know, becoming a better person or becoming a more...
What about this? Do our ideas of success change as we go through life?
I'd say, I imagine so. I mean, I think it's a good point. I think we certainly get a perspective on success that's different. Some of the failures as you grow older, you kind of see, well, actually, you learned something from them and you got something from them. I think one of the things I would say that, going back to your point about to some extent, the modern trends and messaging around this, there's like a trend, particularly about the super rich, that they talk about their failures as something that made them. Right. So, you know, that sort of like Elon Musk talks about, you know, he's wealthy and rich because of his failures, and he kind of brags about having failed. Or Steve Jobs said, you know, famously was talking about his success, the best thing that happened to him was all these failures. And that again is a kind of a messaging that it's a self-serving one for them, because a lot of their failures they didn't have to clean up after. Society often cleans up after. But also for a lot of us, our failures we don't actually learn from, and that should be said. So we do fail, we make mistakes, and there's nothing good necessarily that comes out of that. You just kind of make an embarrassing mistake or you don't learn from it.
Because I read a summary, you know, don't think about it as a mistake, think about it as a learning
as an opportunity.
I'm reading the books that you're
I'm against that message personally. Right. I think you have to accept sometimes it's failure, and I think it's a false message, and it's not true. Not every success has a golden, you know,
not every failure has a silver lining.
Is silver lining. Yeah. And I think, you know, that sort of messaging, it sort of makes people feel even more of a failure because they didn't, their failure didn't have a silver lining. So
how can we help people feel better about the world today, Joe, when it comes to success
well,
and failure?
Right, well, that's right. We've talked a lot about failure. Yes. Well, one, I think, is the point, you know, about rethinking what success is.
Yes.
So, you know, success on your own terms and measuring it in a correct way and, you know, delving into philosophers. A lot of philosophers can talk about that. I mean, the other is the sort of psychological things, the habits that you can develop, and the psychological side. One of them is you know, stop emphasizing how we overthink how we're failing on certain measures, and to counter that. So one of them, very simply, is to kind of acknowledge your little successes. You know, to accept praise, for instance, is a marker of self-esteem and normally of happiness. If you can accept a compliment, that's one big thing.
We're not good at
it,
though, as a nation.
We're not, but that's something you could practice. So, if somebody says, you know, you did a good job there, just say thank you. Right. You know, thanks. You know, even if you don't quite believe it, say it out loud. You almost have to, because you're countering this negativity bias, you almost have to force yourself to accentuate the positive. Celebrate the little wins that you
got. Don't qualify your thanks.
It
was nothing nerve.
Yeah, you know, say well done you. You know, inside your little head, you just go, whatever you do, you say,
quite a large head, actually.
Fair play. Give yourself a little high five or whatever, as you go through the day. But actually, you know, those little kind of mini successes, are important for us to celebrate.
To get back to the Gen Z and what you were suggesting there, and we leave it at this, but it's a lack of resilience, is it? Because they, I suppose, the more failure you encounter, maybe the more coping mechanisms you develop to cope with failure. And if you don't experience those early in life, then you've no coping mechanisms.
Yeah, well, I think resilience is an issue. I mean, I think there's a lot of challenges Gen Z have faced, and there's resilience there in everyone. I think there's societal issues that are there. And I think some of the messaging, you know, rather than put it all on Gen Z, I would say, what are the grown-ups doing in terms of framing success in society in the right way? You know, are we creating a healthy kind of discussion, healthy ideas of success, and really living those ideals, you know, rather than kind of setting up standards of success that are kind of toxic for the next generation.
And unachievable.
Yeah.
Because if we set the bar too high, then everyone's going to be disappointed. Well, most people.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's not good.
Exactly. Yeah. Well done, you.
Thanks.
I think we can pat ourselves all on the back there.
Joe Humphries, thanks very much for your philosophical musings there. And we'll talk to Joe in a while, as in 6 weeks or so. Now, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.